You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Walking around the back here. Got those sprinklers going. We're talking about the outdoor hour here at Rosie on the House with special guests.
Of course, it's our Arizona Farm Bureau Day. How are you today, Julie Murphy?
I'm doing well, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And I always look forward to this first Saturday of the month because I get to hang out with your family.
You are family. We love having you.
Thank you.
And our topic of the month is, guess what?
Pumpkins.
Yes.
How could it be anything else?
Yes. And I'm excited about today's program because we can say some pretty special things about pumpkins here in Arizona. And it's the launch of all of our fall festivals. So this is the first weekend in October, which is so appropriate. And on Fill Your Plate, we have that visit a farm, as I've said earlier, and Jennifer, I know you've checked out. So of the all of the searchable databases for October, this has got to be one of the most fun, because if you're in Cochise County, for example, you can just hit Cochise County and up will pop all the farms that you can visit. And one of the farmers we have today, they're launching their fall festival events. I'll go ahead and
let's introduce her.
Yes, it's Katie Leister with Rocker 7 Farm Patch. Is that correct, Katie? Did I get it all correct?
It is correct. The name of the piece of our farm that we open to the public is every fall is Rocker 7 Farm Patch.
Yay. Well, welcome, and we're so glad to have you as part of this. Just one other little mention on that visit a farm. If you hit Maricopa County alone, you're going to run into, again, the farm family that we're talking to right now, Rocker 7 Farm Patch, but you can also end up checking out Justice Brothers Citrus, and that's a farm that you can visit and pick citrus. We've got the Schneff Farms, which is very well known. You've got Agritopia. So we have a lot of farm families that are opening their farms during the fall time. But Katie, what we're hoping you'll kind of share with us during this fun hour talking about agriculture is about your family's farm history.
Sure. Yeah. So, I married into Arizona agriculture. I am a Texas native. I met my husband Brandon when we were in graduate school at Texas A&M, and I was more mobile than a farm, and so I moved back here to join him on the farm. And as far as his family's history, I feel like it's probably a bit less conventional than most generational families in agriculture. I feel like probably most generational families in agriculture, they have started with an ag venture, and that particular venture has been passed down, maybe expanded or altered through the years as different generations have taken it on. And his family, each person has kind of explored a different facet of the industry that has been in their particular passion or interest. It's actually kind of a good story. When they moved to Arizona, it was my husband's great grandpa, and they moved here in the 40s. He was from Kentucky. And he came out here, he had a little pickup and a little trailer, and he drove all through the valley trading cattle. And he called my husband's grandma at the time, and he told her, "I can make money sitting on a hot rock in Arizona. It's bursting with opportunity out here."
Awesome.
He saw that in the 1940s? Yes. Wow.
So
yes,
cool.
That was in the 40s whenever they moved here. And so my husband's grandparents came out here, and they kind of were involved in lots of different ag-related things. They started out with a little grocery store, just kind of in product level. He farmed. He had a dairy, a feedlot. He had some stock or cattle, cow-calf for a little bit, and just kind of went into all kinds of different things. And then my father-in-law kind of moved. Each generation kind of moved a little bit further west. We're in the West Valley now, and in Buckeye. And my father-in-law started farming cotton out here about 40 years ago, And then when we finished graduate school, we came and started kind of our own farm. We shared a lot of resources with my father-in-law at the beginning to kind of help us get going. And but we and then we've kind of diversified ours into our crop farm. We market some alfalfa. We have a show cattle venture, and then now our agritourism. That we this will be our sixth season in that. So
the agritourism I mentioned. You said you're in the West Valley. What's the address? So if people want to come out there in the coming weekends, especially during your little open house, so to speak, or open farm, what's the address?
Yes, so we open this coming Friday on October 11th, and we'll be open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Our cross streets are Jackrabbit Trail, which is 195th Avenue, would be the exit from I-10, and then our cross street is Broadway Road.
And Jennifer, I've been to this one, and one of the things I like to highlight this farm, this agritourism spot, is how much they emphasize the education for young kids. And I think you kind of cater kindergarten through what, third grade, or probably all the way up, but I'm just loving how much Rocker 7 Farm Patch focuses on educating young children. It's just precious. So if you take your grandbabies there, Jennifer, you're going to love it.
So Katie, are those events like people would sign up for? Do you take home school groups? Do you take elementary school groups? How does the education part happen? Or is it just more organic?
So we do. They're kind of another idea on that is that we also branched off the education portion of what we do into a nonprofit called Rocker 7 Farm Tours. We just kind of switched all of that over this last season, and so all of that is run as a nonprofit where we can reinvest those profits into offering trips to like Title I schools and things like that, and we do have a homeschool day, which is very popular with like local homeschool co-ops and things. We have some scheduled traditional school field trips on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We have a specific preschool day, which has worked for those little ones to be in some of our play areas where there aren't older kids that day. And
boy, everything you do sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah.
you're one of those people with tons of energy, yeah?
Yeah,
like anyone, and I mean, we cannot do any part of what we do without a great team, and that's particularly true with our festival. We have as you mentioned, we open next weekend. We have our setup day going on right now. We have a great group out here moving hay bales and putting up tents for people to have shade next weekend and things like that. And a lot of the people who are out here with us today have been with us since we started. A couple of the gentlemen who are older in high school now started hauling pumpkins for people in wagons when they were 11 years old.
Oh,
and it's not only has it been an opportunity to expand kind of our family farm and invite the community, but it's also brought in that a festival family as well. So
I felt lucky to get Katie on today just because of knowing how busy they are getting prepped for the weekend festivals. And the other thing that I can always appreciate about Rocker 7 is because of our ag education program at Arizona Farm Bureau. Last year, I think we reached about 110,000 student teachers and parents. And we teach all the way from kindergarten to high school, but we have pretty heavy emphasis in our curriculum on K through 3. But when I go out to the farm to Rocker 7, the couple times that I've been there, it's like so hands-on. And one of the things they stress, and Katie, you can speak to this better than me, is that when you have kids out there on the farm, some of the experiences that they have, it'll embed in their memory for a lifetime. I mean, you still hear adults say, I'll never forget when I got to go to the dairy. I'll never forget when I got to go to Rocker 7. So those kind of experiences last for a lifetime, and we just appreciate our farm and ranch families here in Arizona that are doing that for us. And Katie, you know, I'm excited to hear some of the things that you'll be doing these next few weekends when you're really going to have crowds there, correct?
Yes, and so I think a big reason why we started this out here in the West Valley to kind of have a closer option for people on our side of town. As everything, you know, becomes more urban, I mean, a lot of our farm fields are surrounded by housing developments now, and it's just going to only become increasingly important for all of us who are involved in what I would call traditional agriculture and crop farming to really invite that our community to visit and see and get a small taste of what it's like to be on the farm and to be in the dirt and to one story that from our field trips, these kids they get in our educational garden that we grow, where they are actually able to harvest things like zucchinis and things like that that they've seen before too, so they can connect the whole picture, and they're able to take these home and have their parents cook them, and they start to harvest these vegetables, and they say, oh, this is poking my hand and my hands are dirty, and anyway, that just making that whole connection that that's where things come from, and that's what it takes to get this food on our plate. And we hope that's what we're able to provide.
It's kind of sharing the whole food chain. So other real quick question is, would have you ever, because we're about to go to commercial, but would have you ever imagined what you'd be doing when you married a farmer?
it varied. My educational background was in first in ag communications, and then we were both in graduate school for ag economics and agribusiness. And so I always imagined kind of a career related to agricultural marketing, communicating.
And so there you go.
Actually, a big reason why we started this is to kind of combine this festival gives an outlet to use those skills.
So. Excellent. Thank you. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about pumpkins pretty soon in the next segment.